What's going on, y'all? It's your boy Dante back again here in the Bible Shed Network. Doing it a little bit different this time, you know. We got a new show for you called The War Report, where me and my co-host Sid, let them know where they can find you on social media.
You can find me at Sid Slide Park on Twitter, SYDSLIDPARK, like the Mac Miller album Blue Slide Park, except it's Sid. Then you can find me on Instagram at STK_OTR.
Yo, and as usual, you already know, follow me on Twitter at OctoberZoneTay. Find me on Instagram at DMouse1005. And for all your podcast needs, make sure you follow in the Barbershare Network on Twitter and IG at the Barbershare Net. Subscribe to the Barbershare Patreon at Patreon.com/Barbershare Network. And make sure you visit the BCNet.com for all of our content. And like I said today, bro, we are here with a new podcast, something different. You know, I handed over the reins to Ball Don't Lie. But as we all know, I love baseball. Baseball is what I do for a living. And so now, me and my bro Sid, we are back with a new podcast. We think it's going to be really interesting, something you all are really going to enjoy.
I'm excited, bro. I never want to talk about the Mets on actual recording because I never actually have anything positive to say about the Mets. But I've never not once believed in the Mets. So this will be a good chance for me to try to say something nice about them while also finally being able to say Ronald Acuna is probably my favorite player in the MLB right now.
Yeah, bro. I think he's next level. And it's crazy. People always say that. And, you know, as somebody who's in Atlanta, I've been here since 07. So I've been here since his rookie year. Half of the fan base doesn't. It wasn't 07. I've been here since 07.
Okay, I'm about to say, oh my goodness.
He's not that old. No, not at all. But I've been here, you know, his entire career, and I've seen, you know, the love and the hate that he gets, despite, you know, the rest of the baseball world sees him as, you know, a top five player. So it's really insane.
The hit pieces that Ronald Acuna gets are kind of crazy, just because, like, I don't understand what more you want the man to do. And then, like, even how a certain first baseman talked about him off the record, I found that very interesting because it was just like, he's not messing with your money. He doesn't really do anything or get in any real trouble. He's not Fernando Tatis.
Like, exactly, bro. He's not his teammate Acuna. You know, it's like Ozuna. Yeah, but this is my issue, bro. And it's funny you mentioned Freddie because that was one of the guys that told him, hey, you know, we don't wear our shades over our A. Or you know, they used
to. It's funny. I didn't even mention him. I said the first baseman.
But everybody knows. Everybody knows. It's like the only person who still comes here. He'll get a standing ovation every time he comes back, and rightfully so. Because Freddie, one thing I'll say, bro, being down here,
hero.
No, Braves, like Braves country, I think they're probably only second to the Yankees in terms of the way they view baseball and the way they're just extremely old school, like everybody. And of course, it's partially because we're in the South. But, bro, when I tell you, like, they feel like, no, bro, shave it. Why do you have locks? Don't do this. Don't do that. It's, you know, you've seen him tone it down a bit, like even with cutting his hair. Like,
I know, which I hate, but like,
yeah,
when in Rome, I guess.
Yeah, I've noticed that, especially like now going to the ballpark and just being around people that work for the team. Like, they really have this, you know, we are the Braves. Like, it's an honor to wear the A on your hat, so you need to act a certain way. So I see why Freddie, Dansby, Chipper, you know, those guys, Smoltz, they were like the Brave guys, like everybody loves them, and I get it.
I hate Chipper.
Chipper was a great player. Like, I don't like some of the comments after the fact, but you couldn't deny him as a player.
I don't like him as a player, as a person. I have nothing good to say about Chipper. I loved watching Chipper Jones growing up, bro. I hated that I had to hate him, but yeah. I felt so much better about hating him once I realized the type of person he actually was. So I'm just like, this is awesome.
That's usually how it goes. They always tell you, you never want to meet your heroes. Cause then, you know, you realize they're assholes. Yeah, but like, bro, let's get into it. You know, like I said, this is the War Report, and we will have a special focus. We will be focusing on the NL East. Obviously, you know, I'll take care of all things Atlanta Braves. Sid is going to hold it down for the lowly New York Mets. I can't believe I'm saying that, as much money as you guys spent this offseason. But we're going to give you a little bit of everything about every team in the division. And we also have special guests throughout the year, you know, that have a little bit more insight on these other teams. So, like I said, let's take a quick look at how the division is right now. The Atlanta Braves are in first place. Second place, surprisingly, the Miami Marlins, you know, 3.5 back. The Phillies are in third place, 8 games back. And, you know, after, you know, dropping that series down here in Atlanta, you all are 9.5 games back. And Washington, that's the rebuilding team. We all know about the Nationals. They're 13 back, 13.5. But right now, bro, who do you expect to win the division?
The Braves. I mean, no matter how much money gets spent, I think there's a certain level of psychological reasoning that comes with being the Braves and having this stretch of dominance over the division that you have. And so when you have that and you mix in talent and being exciting, and I don't even know where to really stand on Atlanta's pitching, but Spencer Strider, when he's good, is really, really good. Spencer Strider, when he's bad, is really, really bad. The Braves bullpen is iffy, even though Chavez is having a hell of a year, pitching much better than another 39-year-old that I know. so there's I think there's little to worry about for the Braves in terms of winning the division, but I also think that because the NL East is stupid finish alert no matter what, I think that there will be 4 teams that are in contention for the actual playoffs when it comes to the NL East. I think the Marlins might bottom out because it's the Marlins, and I just never trust them to do anything right if they're not in a wild card playoff spot. I think the Phillies are the Phillies, and we know exactly who they are, but they caught lightning in a bottle last year. I still think they're pretty bad defensively. I still think they're very they don't have the right-handed power bat like Rhys Hoskins anymore. But not only is he power, he also hits for contact. And I think that makes it really hard for Philly to do much. And then they've also traded away prospects. They've invested a lot into the now in a way that other teams in the division haven't. And I think, I think they'll be a whatever. And then the Mets. There's a proper way to diagnose this, and then there's the Mets fans' way to diagnose this. I'm going to go with the proper way first. The proper way to diagnose what is going on with the Mets is they're just not getting length from their starters, and they are not getting hits from their big bats. That's a problem. I don't know what it is. I'm not in the clubhouse. I don't want to be in the clubhouse. That sounds like a terrible time, no matter what, as a Mets fan for me, because I don't want to know anything more than I already know about the Mets, because they make me very sad most days. But I think there is a method to the Mets madness. And now I'm going to switch over to the Mets home fan side. I think that the way you can diagnose this is that Brett Beatty is still getting comfortable. Francisco Alvarez is a bona fide star, and it's really hard to see that not continuing to accelerate. Jeff McNeil he's a career 300 hitter. He'll get it together at some point, and then next thing you know, we'll be looking up and he'll be hitting 322 and hitting doubles and hitting in the middle of the shifts, and or not even in the middle of the shift anymore, where the shift used to be. And then
they got tricky with that, but go ahead, keep going.
Right. we could talk baseball nuance rules all day, but yeah. And then it's all about contribution. Jose Quintana's coming back. Omar Narvaez is back. Francisco Alvarez is getting more shots at the DH. We'll probably go into more detail about it later, but Pete Alonso missing is a big one. I think Francisco Lindor, it's always a long season with Lindor. People stat watch because of the contract, and because they stat watch, they completely dismiss the idea that baseball is a 162 game sport. And so like hitting sub 230 on June 11th in 2023 doesn't really mean much. All the other numbers beneath the numbers, extra base hits, he's hitting for power, all that stuff is it looks decent for Lindor, or at least like to his standard, if not a little bit above, if not a little bit below. And then I think they can make some very interesting moves at the trade deadline with a lot of expiring contracts that are coming through. So I think that Mark Canha is expiring. We are getting into the less money years of Starling Marte. We are getting into Escobar. He's no longer needed. Vogelback is a 1 year. And then bullpen arms. You can rebuild a bullpen. I could rebuild a bullpen. Baseball is so hard to talk about. Jesus Christ. But they can rebuild a bullpen. And anyone can rebuild a bullpen. And you can rebuild an outfield. And these are just things that are expendable. Like, if they want, they could maybe go out and say, hey, let's go get Cody Bellinger when he gets healthy and we can give him a outfield spot or a DH spot or some, you know. So I'm not ready to close the books on the Mets, but something got to change fast. Something got to change real fast. And then the Nats are the Nats. They won't do anything, but they'll have some pretty entertaining pitching once every 5 days, which is really cool.
Yeah, no, I agree. And like I said, we'll get into detail about the other teams in the division, but I agree overall with your assessment. I do think the Braves are going to take the division. Like, obviously, you know, they went rather through a little slump. Yeah, like it'll be a lot easier than last year. Like you said, it is always a stupid finish alert, but I think this year, the way this team is built, they're going to be able to take their lumps like they did this past week before you guys came to town. You know, they'll have their slumps, but they'll still be able to manage and hold the fort and then actually just get back into that hot baseball. Because if we look at it right now, you still haven't had much production from Michael Harris II. You know, your NL Rookie of the Year last year. He's battled some injuries, but overall, and I think there were some things that were trending that way last year that we just overlooked because he was, you know, playing so well, and he still plays defense. Amazing defense.
So, like, it's hard to say like, hey, yeah, so-and-so might not be good offensively if they're decent offensively and then have a gold glove in center field, which is notoriously difficult to play.
Yeah, exactly. He plays the toughest outfield spot. And I think, you know, last year I mentioned it a few times. I was like, well, don't get me wrong. He's hitting the ball well. But if you looked at his splits, he was really struggling against off-speed pitching. Like, and I think as somebody gets more at-bats and pitchers start to clock that data in, because you and I, we talked about this in messages throughout the week, that, you know, these pitchers, they really use this data, and like, they're going to attack your weaknesses. Their goal is to not give you a pitch in areas where they know that you can barrel that ball up. That's the last thing they want to do. And right. So with him, he was punishing a lot of fastballs, a lot of mistakes last season, and pitchers have adjusted. So, but I still think the ability is there, and it's just a matter of him, you know, getting back into that rhythm. I know he put on 10 pounds of muscle this offseason. He was talking about that, just wanting to be bigger, being able to last the entire 162. And it's funny, we always see guys, you know, alter their frame, and then they get these little nagging injuries, you know, like,
it's always soft tissue. It's always something silly.
Like, obviously, you know, when he tweaked his knee at first, that was just something, you know, fluke running down the bases. But other than that,
he had lower back spasms, right?
Yeah, he had spasms the first week of the season. I think he ran into the wall, and then he stole second base, and he got pulled from the game after he stole second base. So, you know, he's just been nicked up. Austin Riley, you know, he signed a $200 million deal, but, you know, for the beginning of the season, he really didn't look like a $200 million guy. He's finally starting to pick it up, but that's somebody.
I feel like he might be underpaid.
And that's the thing, because when you look at it, everybody just paid. They throw the dollar amount out, but it's a 10-year deal. So he's getting $20 million a year. So the Braves have finessed everybody. Like, and this is a sport with no salary caps. We're so used to GM saying,
so
okay, I'm gonna pay my guys.
We're gonna talk about this later.
Okay.
What the Braves do is racist. Because the way they be paying them, the minority, them Ozzy Albies and Ronald Acuna deals, that's racist. I don't care what anyone says. That's racist.
That entire system is exploitative, though.
Right. Like that. Like, of course.
You could sign 15-year-old kids for 150 racks, you know, like shit like that. Like, it's just flat out wrong.
Bro,
like,
I was so mad when the Mets didn't get the younger Soto.
Yeah. Bro, I mean, I'm cool on younger brothers. The White Sox got the young Cespedes, and he's not that nice. Like,
y'all have the young Tatis too? The second young Tatis.
The second they got his Elijah. We got the second one.
And Dad said he's better.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They always say that. I believe it when I see it, especially the way his brothers been playing. But yeah, I'm cool on little brothers. But no, the Braves. My only concern, because I mean, like you just mentioned, AA. He's amazing, in my opinion, probably the best general manager in baseball. Like, just not only with the contracts he's able to sign and the way he's able to keep his talent in-house, the way, and you know, when we talk about developing talent, that's a whole system-wide thing. That's not just one guy. But I love that he's always aggressive. He'll make moves if he needs to make moves, and that's why I think the Braves will make a move for a starting pitcher. Because it's been shoddy all season. You were obviously Soroka is kind of like, he's, I don't want to say an afterthought at this point. He's more so if he comes back and he can be who he was, and that's great. If not, we have enough pieces to right. It's gonna be tough for him. Like, he came back and he really struggled, and he got, you know, he was demoted again to go back and work on some things. But with that, I think don't be, and you know, Spencer is as great as he is. Like you said, he's had times this season where he's looked very hittable. Like,
that's baby DeGrom. When he's on, he's on. But when he's off, it's just like Jesus Christ, bro. Throw the ball slower, like.
That's one thing. That's one thing they say. Like, major leaguers can hit a fastball. I don't give a damn how fast it is. Like, if he's not locating that fastball, like a lot of the home runs he's given up have been 98, 99 on the gun, but he's missing his spots. He's not locating, and that's you know, that's not like Spencer. So you know, they'll make a move. They'll definitely make a move. The move for Sean Murphy has paid dividends, bro. Like,
and it's always that. It's not only about staying good, it's about improving. Like, you don't need Sean Murphy.
Exactly.
But they got Sean Murphy. Like,
you were fine with Little Contreras. Like, it was cool. They had him and Travis d'Arnaud. They were platooning, you know, and they were still giving you solid numbers off the catcher spot. But we say, nah, we want to go get the best catcher. They were arguably one of the best catchers in the game. Right now, he's probably the best hidden catcher in the game. But it's like,
third
best. We want him. You still third going, best. You going Realmuto on who?
No, Adley.
Okay. Yeah.
Adley Francisco Adley, and him.
Adley is an animal. Like, he is.
So I used to live in Baltimore. Okay. And I loved, like, I lived right up the street from Oriole Stadium. Like, okay. I loved walking to the ballpark, like, all the time. Like, just middle of the day. I'm a teacher. So, like, I just get out at, like, 1, 2 o'clock. Catch a 4 o'clock game. Oh, it was beautiful. Yeah. Oh, I miss Camden Yards so much. No,
I still got to knock Camden off my bucket list. Like, my friend.
Oh, one of the best in the business.
Working for an airline, bro, like, every once in a while, what I do is I'll just bounce around. Like, I'll go catch a day game, come back home, same day, that type of thing. So I've been able to knock a lot of stadiums off my list. And Camden's definitely on the list, especially with the way the Orioles are playing right now.
Oh, yeah. But I'm in there for the playoffs. I can't wait. Oh, man.
But yeah, bro. Like, I'm looking at the Braves, their OPS leaders, and Ozzie Albies has had a very solid season so far, and he's fifth in OPS for the Braves right now. Like,
fifth.
Okay. He's fifth, you know. So, like, it's one of those things. Eddie Rosario has been, you know, pretty solid. He only has 198 at bats, so you know, he's splitting time.
He but swings he's at been everything, in, though.
But... He does. That's my thing about Eddie. Yeah. He's gonna swing at everything. But I mean,
he's gonna hit some shit too.
Yeah, when he connects, it's gonna be good things happening. So I agree, bro. The Braves are gonna win the division. The Marlins, I can't, you know, as much as I always want to put faith in the Marlins, exactly. And we say that even though they've won 2 World Series in our lifetime, which a lot of franchises can't say. It's still like they're the Marlins. I know. Every time, like, Soler is, you know, back hitting the ball a fucking mile every time he gets up, it seems like. Did you see the one-handed? Basically, it was damn near a check swing home run last game, his second one. But no, like.
And then we have to talk. Okay, I guess we can. Can we talk about the Marlins now? Because I think they're interesting.
Yeah, we can. Let's do that. Let's do that. Let's talk about the Marlins.
Luis Arias, MVP, yay or nay?
Well, I'm gonna say nay only because I would go with Acuna. That's the only reason I would say nay. Like, he's definitely top three in MVP in my opinion.
Right. So okay, let's play another one. Luis Arias hitting over 400 the entire season, or ending the season hitting over 400.
Nay. I think he'll end up like 394. Really? I think, yeah, 394, 392 in that range. Like 400 is just nuts, bro. Like even like it's nuts. Like I don't think he'd be. I think he'll get close because he is that type of hitter. Like he just puts back the ball, bro. He's old school. Like hit it where it's pitched, Tony slap Gwynn, it over here, Ted do what Williams, I gotta do. Like bro, it's, like yeah, it's
ridiculous.
And I'm glad you brought him up because it will still stick to the Marlins, but it makes me. We talked about this like a week ago. You know, people really don't appreciate batting average anymore. Like with the rise of analytics and everything, it's one of those things where like everybody says, "Oh, he hit 320," but there should be no but. It's like, you know, somebody's hitting 320. But his
expected batting average.
Yeah, like shit like that, and it's insanity. It's and like for a guy like this, like you said, real old school, because he's only slugging. He's slugging one like four. He's slugging 491. So you know that. Not a power guy by any shape of any
he's
way.
He's a soft contact god at bat. Like,
yeah,
his charts are all blue.
He's not.
Oh my gosh.
He's who everybody thought Nick Madrigal was gonna be. Like everybody thought Nick Madrigal was gonna just be this slap hitter, almost hit 400. But no, that's who he is. Yeah. And so I think he'll get close to 400. I think he'll get close, but no. And you know, I was anti moving Jazz to center field, but you know you see why they made the move.
Like, greatness finds a way. With Jazz Chisholm. I remember earlier in the season there were a few tweets with him talking about, oh, I'm not a leadoff hitter. Kind of just like complaining about like his space in the Orioles or in the Marlins organization. And I found that to be interesting. And he's like, yeah, I'm always hurt and. I'm glad it's finally coming together for Jazz because it's not easy getting moved out of your position for a guy who may or may not have a better glove than you at that position, but just for, you know, the fit. And then it's even harder to excel and play again, like we said, the hardest spot in the outfield. And so with Jazz, you know, I think he deserves everything that's coming. Like he just had the MLB cover this year, which I didn't think he was going to get. Yeah. I thought it was a shoo-in Julio Rodriguez. But you give it to Julio this year because the All-Star game is at T-Mobile. So, yeah, you do that. Yeah. Like, that's easy money move. But, yeah, Jazz is one of my favorite players probably in the entire league just because – he does it all. He steals, he swings, he's swaggy. The defense is good. Yeah. 88th percentile and outs above average, 96th percentile and outs and outfielder jump. That's just athleticism. Like
I'm going to say first year at a position. And that's, you know, those are the type of numbers he's putting up. And, you know, with me, I know, like I said, I wrote about it earlier in the year that we were going to have to give him time. But the fact that he was willing to do it, and you know, everybody, a lot of people, like, you know, thought he was being forced out there. But you know, when I was trying to write about it, I started looking it up, and he actually went to them and said, "Hey, you know, I'll switch positions. Like, I'll play center field." Because he said, you know, they had a carousel in center field, and him being a leader on that team, he was like, you know, I'll do it. Essentially, like, you know, just put me out there. And you know, he's adjusted. We've seen, you know, he's had his mistakes, you know, certain angles that we saw early in the season, but you know, before he got hurt, he wasn't having those issues. You know, he's out right now with a leg injury. So when he comes back, that's another piece for that team. But I think there's always going to be just that urge to hesitate because it's Miami. Like you said, it's the Marlins. It's like, okay, so what are they going to do with the deadline? You know, are they going to mysteriously just suddenly trade Soler and five other pieces? And then we're back to where we were 2 years ago, where they're just not competing at all. Yep. And, you know, it's just really interesting. And so, like I said, I like the team. It's a exciting team. They're one of the best starting pitchers in the game, even though he's been struggling a bit this season.
Oh my gosh.
I think, bro, all the top five ERA guys last year have all been getting rocked so far this season. Like
Verlander,
Cease, like they all have an ERA like above four.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like and everybody.
That, what's his name isn't even playing? Dude on the Yankees, Rodon. He's not even playing.
Yeah, he's not even playing.
Who else? Yeah, so. Top five ERA last year. Verlander, Cease, Wheeler, maybe.
I think he's at. He's like he's what is Wheeler? He's up there.
He had to be up there. Yeah. And then I'm drawing a blank on the fifth. It's watch it be like Julio Urias.
I damn to think it was. I believe.
Oh,
it was.
No way.
But yeah, like, hold on. Was Zach said 3-9. He said 3-9-1 right now, but you know, last year he was cruising.
He was lights out except against the Mets, him and Aaron Nola, but you know.
Yeah, they did. But you know, that's like he said, that's how this division goes. And so
stupid finish alert always.
Yeah, every time, bro. And now obviously we got a couple more teams in the division we want to talk about before we get into, I don't want to say the bottom feeders, but you know, the teams, you know, we're not
the guys
really
we don't
right
expect,
now.
Right?
Yeah, we don't expect them to really make a charge. And it's tough saying that even with the Phillies going to the World Series last season, but you know, this
lightning
is usually what we see. Yeah, this is what we see with those teams that, you know, you went on a run late at the end of the season, but you, I don't want to say you shouldn't have been there because you got there, but it's not one of those teams where like your team was built to repeat that. The Phillies weren't that type of squad. And so even with as amazing as Bryce is, I'm not shocked that they've had their struggles so far. But before we get into that, let's talk about this 3-game series that happened earlier this week.
Okay, fine. Let's talk about it.
Mets came to town, you know, as everybody knows, to play the Atlanta Braves, and the Braves swept the New York Mets. I'm trying to get the exact scores. I had them pulled up. Let's go. All right. First game, the Braves won 6-4. Second game, the Braves won 7-5. And the third game was the walk-off 13-10. So let me know how you feel, bro. What did you see in that series? Like, are you nervous? Is it one of those things where, you know, you've conceded the division? Like, what's up?
It's not a concession of the division, I don't think. It is a concession, but it's a realistic idea that in baseball, you just don't have to win to be a winner, which sounds like bad, but like you could be the Phillies and catch lightning in a bottle if you have the right people on your roster. And I think the Mets may have some of the right people on the roster. I think the pitching staff can use an upgrade in the name of one Rodriguez from Detroit.
Okay.
But I think all things considered, if you're going to get a good Verlander start, a good Scherzer start, Pete Alonso hitting for power, Lindor hitting for contact, Nimmo getting long at bats, like those are all things that can happen. And so I guess I am conceding the division, but not because I think the Braves are unbeatable. I think when it comes to direction and sustainability, the Braves know what they're doing. And that's hard to overcome when you've had, I'm 29. So when you've had about 35 years of negligence running your franchise, and it's hard to re-up. It's hard to re-up with no assets because you can't make a lot of heavy trades, but you can spend a lot of money. And so I think what I saw, I love Pete Alonso talking shit to Elder. Like, throw it again. Yeah. Like, that's great. I think that's good for baseball. I hated seeing Pete Alonso get hurt. But, you know, it was a good series, all things considered. Good games. And not happy with the results. But Alvarez hitting bombs. Lindor didn't sleepwalk through a series. Alonso hitting bombs, talking shit, getting happy. And those are kind of just the things you like to see in a team when there's not a lot of fight. I will say a lot of that is undone by the walk-off because, like, it's Michael Harris who was not having a great series. You neutralize Ozzy Albies the best you could. You neutralize Austin Riley. You tapped up Spencer Strider. So you did the things you needed to win. But again, I think that's kind of just the difference between a serious and an unserious franchise sometimes. And I think for as much as I love the Mets, they can be a very unserious franchise at the time. And right now they're being pretty fucking unserious. And so because of that, you know, that's the shit that happens when you're unserious. And it sucks. But it's baseball. There's 162 games. We're 60 games in. I've been a Mets fan my entire life. I've seen them lose two World Series in my life. If I haven't given up now, I never will. Like my kids will suffer with me.
Yeah. No, that's real. I think this was a much needed series for the Braves. They needed that, something
they
to
looked
get them
bad.
Back.
Real yeah, they, bad in Oakland.
They looked bad, like, again against Oakland, who, you know, you have to kick off with, you know, they won five in a row now. So, you know, Oakland's playing a lot better. But no, you looked really bad against the worst team in baseball. And so coming back after looking lifeless like that, this was exactly what this team needed. They fought in every game, like you said. Fought through, you know, Alonso hitting that shit to the concourse and then talking crazy. You know, it's just like you said, you love to see that. That's something that's exciting. That's exciting as a fan. Like, you know, I didn't like the fans cheering, you know, when he got hit, but these are the same fans that still do the chops. So, you know, it's
Braves fans are, that's the only, like, I don't even dislike the players on the Braves. Like, talk as much shit as you want, because, like, you're winning baseball games, and every time the Mets have to win it against you, you are handily dismantling them. So, like, talk all the shit you want. Like, that's what's good for the sport. The chop is not good for the sport.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere. But I think, like I said, right, this was a series that they really needed, and you saw what this team has done all season and what they're built to do. And no lead is safe against this team. You know, they can hit with,
you need
they can
more
hit
than
with
six
any
runs
team.
To yeah, if you're gonna beat the Braves in a series, there's probably gonna be two games if it's a 7-game series. Or even a 5-game series, there's probably going to be two games where you need to hit more than 6 runs.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's crazy to say that, but when you look at the way that their roster is built, and, you know, they're one of those teams that heavy.
There's no breaks in the lineup.
Yeah. There are no breaks in the lineup, bro. Heavy slugging, heavy extra bases. You know, you're talking about guys, Matt Olson, you know, some people, because he's not fretting, he's not hitting 332, they try to knock him. But in every other category, he gives you everything Freddie did.
From Atlanta. He's the hometown kid. Everyone loves it.
And I'm telling you, bro, seeing him hit those majestic home runs into the chop house, over the chop house, like, no, like, he was built to be fine in that stadium, bro.
That's the stuff he dreamed of. Like, if that's what we're doing in baseball, we're giving people a chance to live out their dreams playing for their home teams. Yeah. That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah. And I'm saying and the Braves do that a lot, because, you know, Mike is from Atlanta as well. So they're known for getting the hometown talent. You know, they even had Hayward when he first got here. But, you know, him, you know, sliding in there, and, you know, he's playing well. And, you know, Ronnie, like I said, is, you know, he's on pace to be the first 30-70 guy. Like, we've had two people do 30-60. But if Ronnie, he could potentially go 30-70. And I think, you know, that's a combination of taking advantage of the new rules. And I think not as much as the bases, the fact that pitchers can't engage
more than twice
a runner like they used to. I think they may have to actually change that. Because if you're a guy like Ronnie, once you throw over twice, I know you're not going to throw over again. So I'm going to go. Like,
Starling
automatic
Marte
for some
does
of
the
these
same
guys.
Thing. Yeah, Starling Marte does the same thing. And you're right. That might have to change. It still feels so experimental. I wish we could do another, like, go 1 year without the pitch clock.
Yeah.
And without the new rules, just so we can see like the 1 year of all of the new rules, 1 year without the new rules, and then, like, come to a happy medium in between.
Yeah.
Because, like, pitch clock is a problem for pitchers still, especially the veteran guys. Like, it's a rough one. You can't speed up bodies like that.
Yeah, a lot of these guys are gassed, and you can tell. Like, you can see it. Like, a lot of pitchers, they talked about this when the season first started. You have to speed up your motion. You know, you don't get the same amount of breaks. If you're getting rocked or you're struggling, you can't just step off, compose yourself, get back on the mound. It's really much more just straight
action. And no sticky stuff, like...
Yeah,
Tyler Glass now. I actually talked about this on 40/40 earlier today. Tyler Glass now was very, very vocal about the removal of sticky stuff and how that impacted his performance and how that changes the ability of the pitcher to actually grip the ball and things like that in ways that aren't fair to pitchers, because it was literally one day you have it, the next day you don't, and then and then when you use the substances that Major League Baseball gives you, they still kick you out of the game because you're Max Scherzer.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though, did you see the experiment that David Cone did?
No.
Okay, so what he did was he put rubbing alcohol on his hands, mm-hmm. and then he touched the rosin, and basically he looked like fucking Spider-Man. Like, yeah. his fingers were stuck together. Mm-hmm. And so he was like, you know, that's basically what got him. But I agree, you know, you can't, you know, when you switch up equipment like that, especially with guys who are throwing the ball 98, 99, you know, he says spin rates at an all-time high. You know, that's really interesting.
3,600 RPMs. Yeah. Like,
they've talked about for years, you know, getting a new ball. And, you know, they talked about the ball that they use in Japan is actually, you know, the material is just stickier. It's just better for pitchers, you know. And when you look at
that's probably those why Shohei leagues, needed Tommy John coming over.
Yeah, and you look at the amount of, you know, when you look at the pitches that they throw and the way they're able to make the ball dance, like, you know, you get it, you see it. And so, yeah, that definitely, you know, switching things like that. That mm-hmm. was dangerous. That was very dangerous.
I mean, Major League Baseball, but it is what it is. Bryce Harper. He's Wolverine. That's what Wolverine is. Bryce Harper. He missed a month of baseball after getting Tommy John surgery.
Yeah. Unheard of.
The hell. Are you a Game of Thrones fan?
Yeah.
The prince who was promised. And I cannot think of someone who has absolutely delivered on that promise more than he, except for one LeBron James. Unreal.
I don't think, like, and I tell people this because a lot of people don't pay attention to baseball, but like when they talk about phenoms in America, they rarely mention Bryce. But I say, you're talking about a guy who dropped out of fucking high school, got his GED to become a professional baseball player, and has done everything they said he was going to do. Everything they said he was going to be, he's become that. And, you know, baseball, we give more leeway for winning a World Series because that's such a team thing. Yeah, it's not like basketball where one guy's a direct, you know, direct factor in that. Bryce can be as amazing as he wants to be. If his teammates suck, his team sucks. Like, that's baseball, you know? But in terms of
the Jacob DeGrom rule.
Yeah, as an individual talent, there has not been a guy, you know, with the type of hype coming in who's actually lived up to it the way Bryce Harper's done it. Like,
he's been famous since
he was 15 years old. But we all remember the, especially if you did you play baseball growing up?
I played in middle school, but I was terrible.
Okay. But no, like one of the guys, like, you know how everybody talks about Reggie Bush's high school highlight tape and things like that.
Yeah,
Bryce Harper, the hitting display he put on at the Perfect Game showcase in Tampa, where he's hitting balls
this video. Yeah.
to the fucking wall in Tropicana, and he's like 16 years old. Like, the Bryce has always been a guy that we were like, no, like Bryce is that guy. Like, no, he's one of those ones, and he's done everything.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, like we said, they caught lightning in the bottle last year, and his team is coming back to reality in a major way.
I think the Trey Turner deal is going to end up so ugly. I think it's going to end up really, really, really bad.
Bro, think about this. And like, obviously, I'll never say don't pay players. I'm always team get your
money. Oh, yeah. No,
1,000%. However, look at these huge deals in baseball. I see why some earners don't want to give them out because they rarely work out. Like, Bryce is one of the few guys where, like, the owner right. came up, he
there's
said,
there's a time span. Like, there's a time frame.
You have to catch a guy in that perfect window. Yeah, right. You have to catch a guy in that perfect window. And so like, Trey,
like the deal Shohei Ohtani is going to get is probably going to be $550 million. Ish plus,
yeah,
maybe a little below, maybe a little higher.
I can see the
end of that deal is, yeah. I feel sick. It's going to be the Dodgers or the Mets, but like, I feel so, or the Padres maybe, but I feel so bad for one of these teams because, like, unless Shohei keeps it up, and I pray to God that when Shohei is like 41, he's still DHing in this league hitting fucking bombs. But yeah, the back end of that contract is going to be nasty work. But I don't even like to think of like back end of like 10-15 year contracts, because like this plane isn't going to be here in like 20 years. We're fine.
But no, not even at the end of the day. Out. Right. The goal with these deals, like if you win one World Series, you've
done. You're done. Yeah. You're done. You're good.
You're fine with that. But the problem is, like I said, a lot of these huge deals, you don't see that. So, like you said, a lot of those numbers, that Trey Turner deal, I do think, you know, so he'll play better. But you know, I think coming off of the World Baseball Classic was kind of a gift and a curse because he was so hot. Everybody was like, okay, yeah, he's going to just come in for the Phillies and just keep doing what he was doing. I know as a White Sox fan, we kind of expected that from Moncada, and that didn't happen. You know, Lewis Robert Jr. has been playing well, but, you know, that WBC doesn't always carry over. And so with Trey, we've seen those issues. We've seen their struggles. And so, like you said, that's one of those contracts you're going to have to really keep an eye out for. You know, obviously with baseball, we normally see him throw money around it, and we don't even think about it. We don't think twice. Like, okay, yeah, they gave him $400 million. Who gives a fuck? But that's the deal with the way that team is structured, where you have a win now type of roster, but you're not winning now. Where do you go from there?
Yeah. Where do they go? Eventually, they'll have to offload some contracts. Zach Wheeler will probably leave at some point. Aaron Nola will probably leave at some point.
How you feel about your boy Nick?
Because of him, I am 100% certain I-95 blew up today in Philly.
He did hit a home run today.
He did hit a home run today.
You know, anytime something terrible happens, just mark that down.
Bad luck, Nick. It's always. I like Nick Castellanos. Him and Schwarber are interesting to me. I think that if you had to think of like just a positionless player, first like two names come to mind. It's Castellanos and it's Daniel Vogelbach, just because I don't know what they can actually do besides hit a baseball, and I'm not entirely sure that Daniel Vogelbach can actually hit a baseball at this moment in time. So that's fine, but Nick Castellanos was just it was Schwarber who hit the bomb against Japan.
Yeah, that was Schwarber.
Yeah, Cassie, he's just there. Like that's another bad contract. I think. Like I think that's a really bad. Yeah,
and that was a guy. A lot of people they were racing to sign him. A lot of teams wanted to throw a lot of money at him. A lot of money at him.
And like, at his worst, he's all the bad of Kyle Schwarber. Because like Kyle Schwarber, he had 10 hits in the month of May. He was hitting sub 200. But 70% of those hits were home runs.
Home runs, yeah.
So it's like,
we talk about it all the time, bro. Like the way that lineups have, you know, pretty much become like specialized, like bullpen. Just like, yeah, you can be absolute dog shit as far as average goes, but you got some power. You got some extra base hits when you do actually make contact. You know, that goes back into that batting average on balls in play that we hate so much. But you know, people use those and have, you know, been able to make a career out of it. And so, like you said, Kyle, and I think, you know, with Schwarber, you still have one of the best left-handed power bats in the game. I think, you know, that goes without saying. He's up to, last time I checked, I think he has 17 home runs. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's hit one since then, but you know, you have pieces, but again, you're built win now in a division that has teams that, on one hand, you have the Braves, who are built to win now and in the future. You have a team like the Mets, who are also in win now mode, but the Mets have more money than you, so they're going to outspend you every step of the way. And then you have the Marlins, who are mysteriously good every 5 years. So, right. So it's one of those things where it's like you've backed yourself into this corner. Now, how do you dig out of it?
Yeah, and I think the way they dig out of it is just get into the playoffs.
Yeah. But we always talk about how like that's the last place you want to be in sports. If we're just making the wild card, we're that last playoff
it's
team.
Different
like...
for baseball, though.
Yeah, okay,
it's different
that.
For baseball. Like if you're the 10th seed in the NBA, getting into the play-in and then losing to like a 7th seed, you're in hell because you won't get a high enough draft pick. But draft picks don't even really matter in baseball unless like they do, because like. Baseball is stupid. Like, I love baseball, but yeah. It's the dumbest thing in the world to me. And I love it. But yeah, I think Philly will be fine once Rhys Hoskins. Rhys Hoskins? I don't think Rhys Hoskins is coming back this year. But yeah, they just have to plug holes up and they have to get good out of the guys who are good. Like, yeah, their pitching staff is pitching below expectations. Their hitting is below, everything is just below expectations for them. Yeah. And it's not even like in a disappointing way. I think that so many people tried to fool themselves about who the Phillies actually were when Dave Robertson took over, that or Rob Thompson, Dave Robertson's Dodgers guy. Yeah. I think he's a really bad manager too sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. He's cost them at least one ring, but we don't have to get into that today.
Yeah. Anyway, they are reminding you who they are, who they were before they caught lightning in a bottle. But again, the motto in baseball is just get in, because you could end up like the every 2 years Giants. You could end up like the every time you hit the wild card, except for once, you got a 66% chance to win the World Series if you're the Marlins. So, like,
yeah,
life finds a way.
Yeah, and they're going to have to find one. And before we get into our NL war board that we're going to be updating weekly, we got one more team we need to talk about in the first episode. Now, of course, it's the Washington Nationals. Like I said earlier, 13 and a half games out, really in, you know, rebuild mode, and not only in rebuild mode, they're in that part of the rebuild where you're finding the pieces, like those first key pieces that you are going to use going forward. And this is a very critical part of any rebuild, because like we've seen with some teams, if you key in on the wrong guys, you're going to be rebooting this thing in 3 years.
Right.
Right. So you have to, you know, identify your talent and figure out who you're going to go forward with. And one guy that we've seen that, you know, I think is going to be a part of that is Josiah Gray.
My guy. I love JoJo.
Josiah. I had an opportunity to interview Josiah. He's a great dude, young pitcher, man. I wanted to see him really stay with the Dodgers because, you know, as a young pitcher, imagine if he wouldn't have been able to develop with that lineup, you know. With
Clayton Kershaw.
With Kershaw, with all of those guys. Yeah. And just being able to bounce ideas off of them and things like that. But, you know, going to a team like the Nationals where he can be a focal point of that rotation. And, you know, we're not really worried about the 4-5 record. But I don't look at pitchers' win-loss records because, you know, we know how much goes into that. There were his first, like, three or four starts.
The he was getting zero. Was criminal. Was bro, criminal.
They were making error after error. There was no run support.
Right. And so, if you're going to be a ground ball pitcher, like,
yeah,
you got to have defense behind. Like, that's why Marcus Stroman does so well. Like, there's a defense behind him. That's why Shane Bieber doesn't look as bad as he's been, because he's ground ball god. And yeah, and then Kyle Gibson too on the Orioles, another ground ball guy. You got Gunnar Henderson back there. You got Adley Rutschman behind the plate. You figure some stuff out. You got Cedric Mullins and center. You tend to figure things out.
Exactly. And so if you have a ground ball pitcher and the defense behind him is poor, you know, he's not going to look bad. The end result is going to look bad at times. So like I said, Josiah has been on point, you know, 1.4 whip, 61 strikeouts, 72 innings, 3.0 ERA. Like I said, the ERA, that'll go down. Cause like I said, he hasn't been giving up a lot of runs this season. And that's somebody who, again, I think will be a part of that rebuild. One guy who, you know, when I was making the war board, he surprised me when I saw his name on there. Jameer Candelario, the third baseman.
Ooh, he's fun.
Yeah, that's another fun guy. That's a fun guy.
So I think the Nats are just a really fun team to watch. Like, and this is not to say the Nats are, well, I don't want to say explicitly that they're bad, but their franchise is not caring about itself right now, which they can kind of afford to do after 2019, I guess. But, you win one in a fan's lifetime, you tend to have a longer string, and you want it with the good guys from home. So you live with it. But they have interesting pieces. Manessis is another one who I find interesting. Lane Thomas, I find interesting. I don't know if these guys are center pieces, but they are good enough pieces, which is great. And I think they'll be making some team very happy. Like, I think Meneses might get dealt at the trade deadline and be a DH somewhere. Like, that doesn't sound like a bad move for him.
Yeah. What do you think about Ruiz? And so I saw you mention him in the rundown.
He's fun. So I think the NL East, like, they just have a lot of catchers who can hit right now. Like, Ruiz can hit. Alvarez can hit. Wild Bill could hit. Murphy can hit. Travis d'Arnaud can hit. So I'm interested. I want to see how his defense continues to develop. But as the years, or not even the years, as the season has gone on, his at-plate discipline has just looked so much better. He wasn't really much of a wild swinger anyway. But, you know, when you're getting the whiff rate down, that's the best you can ask, especially for a young guy. And then I think him and Josiah get along really well, like just as a pitcher catcher combo. So that's always good, especially for someone who I firmly believe those are two cornerstones of the Nationals organization moving forward.
Yeah, no, definitely, bro. And now, speaking of cornerstones of that organization, one guy who was, you know, you really can't even put words into it, because that's how we talk about the hype that Bryce had. This guy's probably a strong number two.
Yeah. Another hometown guy, right?
Yeah. No, yeah. Spencer Strasburg, bro. Yeah, he's a VA guy. Another guy who, you know, came in, you know, all the expectations in the world. And, you know, he literally, and seems like now, you know, threw his arm out winning the World Series for this team. So, you know, he's been shut down from all physical activity. I couldn't even tell you that. I don't even remember the last time we saw him pitch. Like,
I think he pitched 2 years ago.
Because I remember they tried to bring him back on the limit, and yeah, you know, he ended up getting shut down.
Yeah, I think he pitched like 2 years ago and pitched like half an inning, and it wasn't great.
Yeah, and it's sad, because, you know, we look at this era of fireballers now, and he really was one of those guys who, you know, was in the mold of a Kerry Wood or Mark Pryor, who he ushered that back in. You know, we talk about DeGrom and these guys with the perfect mechanics who are just throwing fucking smoke. Like, it was a thing of beauty to watch him pitch. Like, because
in 2019,
man, was, yeah, next level
shutout innings. Like, I against like the biggest villain in baseball at the time. Like, you just don't do that, but he did, and it was amazing. And it sucks that his career is probably like, you don't come back from thoracic outlet surgery. And the only reason I know that is because that's the surgery that Matt Harvey had. And that sucked. Like,
yeah,
I remember when Harvey was pitching for the Orioles, it was one of the times I went to Camden Yards, and I was like, holy shit, it's going to be the first Harvey day since like 2017. And I hate that some kid who was probably super happy with Steven Strasburg as a kid, like watching him pitch, he's gonna go to like a Kansas City Royals game and be like, oh my gosh, it's a Strasburg pitching day, and it's gonna be terrible. And that sucks.
Yeah, it's always tough seeing guys, like you said, these phenoms, when they're essentially robbed of their talent. Because one thing we always say, guys don't ask to get hurt. Nobody goes out here and says, you know what, I'm gonna go out here, I'm gonna throw my fucking arm out today. Like, that's unless never anyone's intent. Yeah, he, that guy, dude, we can go on and on about Scotty. But
you're not gonna ruin my summer. Yeah,
right. Nobody tries to get hurt. So when you see, you know, somebody who's supremely talented have their career essentially, like the way it's looking, like you said, cut short because of injury, it's tough. So I think my question for you is, where do you think, like, what's his overall meaning to this franchise? You know, relaunching the Nationals in Washington, in D.C., he was a huge part of that. Where does he go, you know, when it's all said and done?
Ring of Honor. He probably makes it into a maybe you feel bad Hall of Fame. Like, his number will definitely be retired. I hope he gets more than a coulda, shoulda, woulda Hall of Fame. I know baseball doesn't give those out like some other sports do. Cough, cough. Yeah. Basketball Hall of Fame with your coulda, shoulda, woulda of Tracy McGrady Participation Hall of Fame Award.
Yeah, they got a couple questionable guys.
I have a lot of questionable guys. But you build a bust of them and you retire them and you treat him like the king that he is, because your best knight died in war.
Yeah.
You won the war, but you lost your best knight and your second best knight. And
he went out on his, right. He went out on his shield. Like, what more can you ask? Yeah, for?
Like he, you know, I'm happy he has the contract. I'm confused as to why Patrick Corbin has the contract, but that's Strauss is the guy. Like, maybe even like he comes back as like a pitching coach and single or double A, or even. He makes it up and he's like a Jeremy Hefner or just like a pitching guru who you can just whisper and figure these guys out and give them all the advice as to what not to do as opposed to what he did. And yeah, just it sucks he wasn't able to be more protective of himself, but the process to get there, it was a beautiful car crash. Like you remember where you were when, if you're a baseball fan, you remember where you were seeing Strasburg pitch. Remember that fleeting feeling of someone finally fucking beating the Astros in a real season.
Yeah.
And that means something to people, and that means something to fans. And I don't know I don't know many Nats fans. But of the Nats fans that I do know, none of them have anything negative to say about Steven Strasburg. They'll go after Max Scherzer before they go after Steven Strasburg. So all praises to the guy. Love him. Had some great years against him. But it's time to hang it up, dude. I wish the best for him, but I think it's time to let it go and go be a family man. For real, enjoy your time as a family man.
Yeah, bro. Like, honestly,
earned it, man.
Yeah, get that team ambassador role. You know, maybe do a little radio broadcast, something like that. But like you said, I like what you said, mentioning him being a pitching coach, because the first thing I thought about was Mark Pryor. Like, right. Mark Pryor's, you know, become a very good pitching coach, you know, for the Dodgers. And I think that's something where it can keep him in the game, you know, still doing something that you love, but you're not sitting there, you know, tearing your body up. And that's something that, you know, we've seen him do for years now. Right. So, like I said, it's unfortunate, but nah.
Right. And that Nats team and that the Nats team in 2019 and then the Dodgers team in 2021 and the Rays, these were all kind of like analytic heavy guys at the time. And kind of like the introduction to the heavy analytics. So that's why Strasburg was out there pitching like six innings in one game and then would come out of the bullpen in another game and then take his start the next game. And Max Scherzer did that. And he talked about how he feels like his body can do that. But like, so yeah, I think having a guy who can kind of be a mouthpiece as to not being so married to the analytics that you're doing damage, because, you know, the numbers say, hey, the numbers say, hey, this is the deal. You can do this, you can do that. But when it comes down to it, you have to do, you have to take on this workload. And so, you know, it even almost reminds me of Eric Chavez, like great hitter. And he kind of just, he's the mouthpiece for analytics to bat on ball skills. And that is, I think that's the best you can ask for a guy like Strauss.
Yeah, no, definitely, bro. So, you know, like I said, we tip our cap to him, World Series champion, World Series MVP, and you know, his future Nationals Ring of Honor. So many things coming his way, man. We wish him nothing but the best. But before we get out of here, what are we going to do every week? We're going to have our NL war board. And especially we're going to do the top 10 war guys in our league. We're going to do pitchers and batters. We can put them all together, same list. And let's see what we got this week. So far, our first top 10, we got 3 Atlanta Braves. We got 3 New York Mets, surprisingly. We got 1 Miami Marlin. We got 2 Nats. And we got 1 person from the Phillies. Matter of fact, let's go 10 to 1. Number 10, your boy, shortstop of the New York Mets, Francisco Lindor. Yep. He's at 1.5. Number 9, we just talked about Unlucky Nick. He's at 1.7. Number 8, this one actually surprised me. Orlando Arcia for the Braves. He's at 1.8. Caught me off guard with that one. He's at actually the same. Our 6, 7, and 8 are all tied. Number 7, your boy, Brandon Nimmo, 1.8. We talked about him earlier. Jameer Candelario, he's at 1.8. Number 5 is Pete Alonso. He's at 2.2. You know, get well soon, Pete. Number 4, Josiah Gray. He's at 2.3. Number 3, good. Man. Number 3, Sean Murphy, 2.5. Number 2, we talked about it, Mr. 400, Luis. He's at 2.9. And number 1, he's number 2 in the league, Ronald Acuna Jr., 3.5.
Yep. That all makes sense.
Yeah, and the reason I said let's do a WAR board is because WAR is one of those analytic stats where the numbers, the numbers match the eye test. Like the people people we just read, they're all contributors for their ball club. So and when you start hearing the names,
if you watch them, you know the exact contributions that they're giving to.
Exactly.
So like, yeah, like Lindor, Gold Glove defense, extra base hits. Yeah, that Nimmo. Yeah. Nasty center fielder, contact hitter, hitting above 300, I'm pretty sure, or if not, like slightly below it. Yeah. Alonso leading the league in homers, maybe still, probably.
Yeah, he has 22.
He's still in the league. Acuna, MVP, Arias, 400, Murphy, bomb hitter. Yeah, all makes sense. Makes sense. Orlando Arcia, whatever. Like,
that makes sense because I go to a lot of Braves games and I've been watching the place.
No, I've watched a lot of Braves this year too. It makes sense, and people are talking about how they shouldn't have paid Dansby because of it, and I hate it.
I'm not gonna say that, but I will say this: I think Arcia makes Vaughn Grisham expendable. Like he came up and he was hot last year.
Because
right now I don't think. He obviously needs more time at shortstop getting comfortable. He was booting some balls you just can't boot at the big league level, like the routine plays that he was messing up. And so I think don't be surprised. This is just me talking. Don't be surprised if they don't move Vaughn to get Tim Anderson. And I know Tim is struggling right now, so his stock is dropping. But if he starts to pick it back up.
Do we have sources?
No sources, but this is my reasoning. This is my reasoning. The White Sox are going to fire sale. They just are. They're going to retool. They also don't pay people. The largest contract in history
Andrew Benintendi. Doesn't have a home run.
And they did not have a home run. So you're not telling me they're going to give Tim Anderson $150+ million. 9 times out of 10, that is just not going to happen.
And they just don't like Tim Anderson. Like Chicago loves Tim Anderson, but.
Yeah, Chicago loves him, but the organization, Chicago, it's like, we have, even though the South Side is the blue collar team, you still have your black blue collar folks, your white blue collar folks. So, a lot of them, they're big Jake Berger, they want to see a replace. They don't mind getting somebody else, a different face for their franchise. That's
they're
why they've
so
been so
stuffy.
That's why they're so stuck on Andrew Vaughn. And like, we couldn't, like, he's untradeable. We can't move Andrew Vaughn. It's like, no, nobody on this team is untradeable. Like, there's not a soul on this team.
Son Luis Roberts to the Mets. What are we doing?
That's probably the one untradeable, but it's getting to the point now where you have, your team is so, and this isn't a White Sox pod, and I can go all day, but. Back to my original point, wouldn't be shocked if you saw Vaughn as a part of a package to get somebody else in here, just because the way that the Braves have been able to retool and redo things. Like I said, if they feel like they haven't, because we know he can hit.
Right.
But if he's not going to be a major league shortstop, I don't give a damn how good he hit. You don't need another outfielder. Like taking him and sticking him in left field, I think that's a waste. Like, when you can use him and get more, positional value in other players. So like I said, Arcia has he surprised the hell out of me this season. I thought he was going to be just a regular utility guy, but I really think he's making Double A think twice. Like it's going to be some tough conversations because of the way he's playing.
I don't think you give him a long term contract though, and I don't even think what he's doing is sustainable because like this is probably his best career year, but like he's just middle of the pack. Like,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, but I think
they're so good, right? I just
hate it. And you got to think if you trade Avon for a TA, then you slide Arcia back into that utility role. So
you're making this make sense in my mind.
It makes perfect. That's why when everybody says it, I'm like, bro, just watch it. Like, just watch it. The Braves have a lot of flexibility. They can go.
They
a lot
have
of
way
ways.
More flexibility than they should for a team that's good.
Yeah, and for a team that's like time after time. They empty out their farm system, bring everybody to the bigs,
and they always get rid of. And they always get rid of the guys who aren't good. Them and the Rays, man, just so annoying.
Yeah, like the I think just the wherewithal and the knowledge of their in-house talent is next level. Because like I can't even remember his name, the guy that everybody was pissed they traded, the prospect who had been in Double A for like 3 years or whatever. No, nobody's talking about him now.
No name.
But it's like here,
was
here
he
you
part
are.
Part of
like,
the Olsen trade or the Murphy trade?
He was a part of the Murphy trade.
I know exactly who you're talking about, but
I can't think of
his name.
But it's exactly.
It doesn't matter. He doesn't even know where he's playing baseball next year. So,
exactly. And so now you see with this next batch of talent, they've gone back. They got a lot of arms that they're starting to draft, and you know they're pretty. Putting time into, so it's a beautiful thing, you know, if you're a Braves fan. And I'm telling you, bro, TA has struggled, so like with his stock dropping, they may not have to give him Vaughn, but
Rick Hahn always want to give some shit away.
Rick Hahn has had his job for over a decade and made the playoffs once. It's not really much more you can say about the guy. Like
Jay Villanova before,
bro. You can put together like a borderline all-star team of his mistakes, like players he's given away, players he didn't give an opportunity, players he didn't have the foresight to say, okay, let's try this out. Like even with Marcus Semien, like he wasn't the Marcus Semien we see today, but you don't even give him a qualifying offer. You just get rid of the guy. Like
I remember the Sox and the Yankees, they came out and said, we do not need Bryce Harper. And I was just like,
and Bryce wanted to play in Chicago. Like he did an interview and he talked about it. He was like, you know,
he wanted to go to New York too.
Yeah, he's like, yo, this is the blue collar side of town. You know, it's tough fan base. I love it. You know, want to, you know, bring some respectability to that team. Blah 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 blah. Blah. And they just don't care. They said no. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Like, but that guy, you know, the White Sox are who they are because of the owner. Same way with the Bulls, they are who they are because of the guy who owns the team. That's just the way it is.
Oh, Jerry.
But yeah, that's why I do enjoy Atlanta. And, you know, I swear them off every year and then, you know, watch from a distance. But it's fun actually being around a competent ball club full of people who actually want to win every day. Like going to Truist and looking up and seeing 20 fucking division titles X amount in a row. That means something. That means it's just a nice baseball
environment to be in. Like The closest Major League Baseball I have to me right now is the Cincinnati Reds. So I've been watching Elly De La Cruz play, and he's a monster. And he just turned the Reds around. It added a bit more of the shine back to the history that the Reds have. For me at least, because I don't care that Pete Rose was gambling, but.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, it's whatever. Lead us out.
Yes, sir, man. Like I said, this is the War Report, episode one, man. I want to thank y'all for tuning in. See it. Appreciate you, bro. Going to be a great season. Maybe not for the Mets, but just for the NL East as a whole. I think it's a lot of good baseball love.
Yeah, I mean, baseball is always fun. It's always nice to meet other Black people who are into baseball. It's nice to be in a room of competent cultural creators that will make sure that we tell the stories of major leaguers the right way as opposed to the other way. So thank you all for listening. This is the War Report. Catch us next time.